You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm a loyal Democrat, but I am not happy. I just think that we are, you know, we did not listen to voters in this election, and I think we're going to have a bad night. And, you know, this conversation's not going to have much impact on Tuesday, but I hope it has an impact going forward. Because when voters tell you over and over and over again that they care mostly about the economy, listen to them. Stop talking about democracy being at stake. Democracy is at stake because people are fighting so much about what elections mean. I mean, voters have told us what they wanted to hear.
And Democrats have not delivered. That's the opinion of, listen to this, a Democrat strategist. Thanks for joining us. This is November 7, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word. It'll take you right to our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings. And you will see where to simply push a button and join us live in studio. More and more of you are doing that. I thank you. And if you can't join us live in studio now, I see dozens are watching later at their own pleasure, which is fine. And I remind you, in case you miss any of this audio portion, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, and every program is put up as a podcast within 30 minutes or less of us going off the air. And I do appreciate you doing so. I encourage you to subscribe. You can do it for free. We do not share your information. And we'll send it to you daily. And then also make sure you share all of this with your family and friends. We're at a critical point. We're at a critical point right now in this midterm election. This is going to be the biggest midterm election we've had in a long time, maybe history making. Now, I know you might hear that from time to time, and you're thinking, my vote won't count. Do not go down that road. I don't care if you are still denying the election of how it happened in 2020. I don't care if you are denying the election of 2016 when Trump won originally. I want you to consider the right you have, and I would say the obligation you have in this country. Blood has been shed for you to do that. Do you know how many countries would absolutely love to have an election and a free election, free of fraud? Now, I hear some of you already, well, I don't know that will be. I don't know that my vote will even count. They'll wipe it out. Well, let me put it this way. If you don't vote, I don't want to hear from you. I do not want to hear from you going in to the next 2 years and maybe 4 years and on. If you're not going to exercise your vote, then you have no voice, period. Now, you were listening then in the beginning to Democrat strategist Hillary Rosen. She was appearing on CNN and State of the Union, and her remarks, damning to come out of a media-controlled operation like CNN, and I'm going to quote her briefly. I'm a loyal Democrat, but I'm not happy. I just think we did not listen to voters in this election. I think we're going to have a bad night. And she's right. The Democrats have ignored the message many Americans have been saying. We're concerned about our inflation, our pocketbook. What can we put on our table? Can we have gasoline? And we're concerned about crime. Democrats have been wanting to make this about, Roe v. Wade, that's fallen to the wayside unless you're actively involved in getting an abortion or fighting against abortions at this moment. They want to talk about green pie-in-the-sky energy, wanting to shut down coal plants across the world and in our nation. That's not going to help your economic picture. They have ignored crime, just trying to say, it's not a big deal. And in fact, defund the police was their rally cry right now. They're not saying that now, but they still have it in their mind. They will do it. They will defund. They will open up jail cells. And then we have our border security. They have ignored all the things and the issues that have been put in front of their face on a constant basis. And they should pay. If you disagree, well, then go out and vote the other way. I just want you to vote. Use that right. Use your obligation. Coming up, we're going to break down some of the things, and including one of the events where Biden said the no-no. Oh, he should not have said it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, out on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A fair economy that gives working people a fair shot. That's on the ballot. Fundamental rights are on the ballot. Truth and facts and logic and reason and basic decency are on the ballot. Democracy itself is on the ballot. The stakes are high.
Well, that is part of the speech President Obama delivered along with President Biden the other day while they were in Pennsylvania. They were there campaigning, trying to lift up the campaign of John Fetterman. You're going to hear from him a little bit later, but I'm telling you, the clip I pulled, it might be one of the best clips where he was somewhat coherent. And there's an interesting, funny kind of thing that happened is shortly after he began. I'll get to that in a moment, but They're trying to lift him up because he needs all the help he can get. Now, this is critical, obviously, for Pennsylvania, and it is critical for the U.S. We're talking about a Senate race. This is an open seat. We need to make sure that Dr. Oz wins, not Fetterman. And Fetterman brought in the biggest guns he could. That would be Obama and the cap pistol, Biden. But they were both doing their part for him. Now, keep in mind, we have in the Pennsylvania Senate race, Fetterman against Dr. Oz. They also have a big race reference the governorship in Pennsylvania. And the Democrat AG, Josh Shapiro, is running in that against the GOP State Senator, Doug Mastriano. You don't hear a lot about their names because all the focus has been on Oz and Fetterman. But in Pennsylvania. It's important for the governorship, and it's important, again, for the conservative movement to have a conservative governor. That's really the basis on some governor's races, as we saw last time around. Remember when they were basically going to sick police and the FBI on parents who showed up and complained about what their kids were being taught? Remember that Virginia governor's race? The winner was the one who said, "I stand with parents and their right to decide what their children are taught and how they're taught and things not to be kept silent from them." So we're looking at the same thing when it comes to Pennsylvania. The turnout was good. I'm not going to make it sound like it wasn't, but it got really overshadowed apparently by numbers because Trump was also in Pennsylvania. It's a dueling campaign to some extent, but we'll get to Trump in a moment. The address by President Biden did drill down on the essence of this election and why you should be important, why you should consider it important. They have already had something like, I think the last number I saw in just in Pennsylvania, 12 million or more votes cast in Pennsylvania. They, like many states, have opened up absentee voting early. Like if you live in Missouri, you know you could have voted absentee, and you can through today as the last day. You can vote without an excuse. You don't have to excuse and say, well, I might be out of town, or I got a business trip, or I might be going in for an operation. You literally have to make up an explanation. Now you don't. If you have not voted early, you still have a chance to do so. If things hold true, the lines will be very long tomorrow. And which brings to point that many states also have in place that none of the absentee or early voting ballots can even start to be counted until Election Day itself, tomorrow. And some even that you cannot begin counting until at the close of polls on Election Day. So this means we could have some big elections swinging in the wind. And especially if they are in races where candidates are ranked, that if they don't get more than 50%, you're going to have also a runoff. So it's not going to be cited tomorrow. But do not take that as your sign that, well, no sense me going to vote, be it today or tomorrow. You're making a bad, bad decision for you, your family, our country. I cannot stress that enough. I know some people I've heard say, well, you keep talking about going out to vote, Larry. You're going to encourage Democrats to go out and vote. That's fine. They have a right to vote. Everyone has the right to vote. Use it. Use it or lose it, basically, at this point. Biden in Pennsylvania talking about how critical this election is.
Today, I've been saying this for now years. Today we face an inflection point. One of those moments, and it comes along every several generations. One of those moments that you're going to look back on it years from now and know whether or not we met the moment based on the state of affairs 10, 15 years from now. I want you to know we're going to meet that moment just like we've done before. We're going to enter those final days of this midterm election remembering that the power of America is in your hands.
He's right about that. And so was Obama earlier when he said democracy is on the ballot. And yet, let me give you some balance here. I want to read to you from a piece written by Margot Cleveland. It appeared the other day in The Federalist. I take it back. This one actually was printed today. I thought I saw it the other day. Maybe I saw something in advance. But she says, a red wave will not be an end to our representative democracy. Now, first of all, that's assuming there's going to be a red wave. Keep that in mind. She said, a red wave will not be an end to our representative democracy. It would just be an end to the democratic representatives, the Democrat representatives. She said last week confirmed the democracy at risk theme is serving and will serve as the Democrats' closing argument heading into Tuesday's midterm elections. Obama did proclaim at a Phoenix rally, not the one you were hearing there in PA, but he made similar remarks there. He said, if you've got election deniers serving as your governor, as your senator, as your secretary of state, as your attorney general, then democracy as we know it may not survive in Arizona. He said, that's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. The only thing he stopped short of saying is, there's no joke, man, as often Uncle Joe will say. And then Wednesday evening, Joe Biden repeated the mantra in an event held by the Democrat National Committee at Washington Union Station. And, of course, I played you a clip at that point, but I'll repeat what he said. He said, in our bones we know democracy is at risk, but we also know this in our bones, that it's in our power to preserve our democracy. See, what Molly set up is exactly right. They're saying if you don't show up and you don't cast your vote, our democracy is at risk. Molly is saying it's not so much our democracy, but Democrats are at risk. She added, it's difficult to say whether the democracy at risk pitch speaks more desperation or stupidity. But either way, the promotion of this buzz phrase in the final days of the election season proves an implicit acknowledgement that it is Democrats who are at risk in Tuesday's election. And they're running on the theme that if you're talking about election deniers and everything, then those people should not be in office. I remind you that Stacey Abrams in Georgia is running. The same one who said, oh, I conceded to Kemp. I conceded when I lost. But then turned around and said there was voter suppression. And now she's got a new argument, which we'll get to in a moment. But the concern has been inflation, high gas prices, rising interest rates, recession, although they won't call it that, the open border, high crime rates, all of this. It's all been on Biden's watch. As I've said repeatedly, all he had to do was come in and be a caretaker where Trump left us when he went out of office. Remain in Mexico policy, which Biden apparently now is they're looking for a way to get that back in without making it be called that. And they're trying to shut down some more coming in. They're trying to deport more. And I know a businessman that's very upset because he's had an illegal working for him for 8+ years. The guy's been here a long time, has a family. Now, again, if you enter the country illegally, you broke a law. But unless he's involved in a felonious act, I'm going to kind of accept that, well, it's what he's been doing with his life. He's been providing for his family, been paying his taxes. And ICE found him and went into the restaurant and took him out and deported him to Guatemala. Still has a family here. I want you to keep in mind that that's important, but I don't know if that's going to resolve things. And here's a guy doing what he should have been doing, at least working, not causing crime. So then we also had Trump appearing in Pennsylvania yesterday. And Donald Trump was... I take it back. Before we do Trump, let's do Fetterman. I'd mentioned we'd talk to Fetterman. Here's a clip of Fetterman, by the way.
Today, Dr. Oz is going to be standing with Donald Trump on the stage. And I'm going to be proud to be standing with a president that is 100% sedition-free. I'm running to serve Pennsylvania. He's running to use Pennsylvania. He spent $27 million to try to buy his seat. But Pennsylvania's seat is not for sale. Yeah.
Interesting thing, when Fetterman started speaking, all the flags behind him blew over. They just disappeared, all the U.S. flags. And now then Trump gathering in Pennsylvania, much bigger crowd and really roaring.
Every citizen who is appalled by the radical left's lawlessness and corruption, and they are corrupt, this election is your chance to make your voice heard. With your vote, you can reject left-wing maniacs. You can reject left-wing tyranny and proudly declare that America will always remain a free country. We're not going to remain a free country. When you see what's happening with the FBI and with justice, we're not going to remain a free country. Now, maybe things will happen that'll free it up. But I'll tell you, we have to do it. We want to do it at the voter booth. And you have your chance, so we can't blow this chance. You could take the five worst presidents in American history and put them together, and they would not have done the damage Joe Biden has done to our nation in less than 2 short years. Think of it. We're talking about less than 2 years, and our nation is, like, destroyed.
Yep, pretty much destroyed. And as I said, all he had to do was be a caretaker of what Trump had left him. He would look a lot better. He would be certainly electable without question. All the Republicans running would be scrambling, trying to find something to hang on to and present as their case, where it's the other way around now. He just didn't want to do it. He sold out to the Green Pie in the Sky cult and all the other far left defund police, so forth and so on. Coming up, I want you to hear from Obama. He's talking about how midterm elections are usually dull, but there's a value to them. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling. No more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling.
No drilling. No more drilling. Now, we've played that cut twice back-to-back. He didn't say it back-to-back like that, but I wanted to re-impress on you. There was Joe Biden insisting that they were not going to be doing any more drilling. That's because he was being heckled by someone saying, didn't you say the other day that you want the oil and gas companies to produce more? No more drilling. Didn't you say that you want them to do no more drilling? He said the quiet part out loud. Not a good idea. This was Sunday, just yesterday, when he insisted, as he finished up a rally in New York City for Governor Hochul, I haven't formed any new drilling. But this young woman standing in front, holding a sign protesting Biden for allowing drilling on federal lands. And she said, well, you're still drilling offshore in the Antarctic and off the Gulf of Mexico. She said, that was before I was a problem. We're going to get that done. Now, again, contrast his remarks yesterday to what he said Wednesday when he blamed oil companies for the prices you're paying because they're not drilling enough. Let me give you the way it came through and was written by a group that obviously is concerned about oil and gas, as we all are. This was from the energy group, and I'm drawing a blank. I don't have the name here. It didn't all get put off, but they're talking about that he had said the other day that the oil and gas companies are to blame because they're not drilling enough. If they get out and drill more, our prices would be lower. But at the same time, he's already said no more drilling. He's already made it clear he wants to shut down the entire fossil fuel industry. As a company stockholder and or a corporate leader of that board, and your fiduciary duties to your broker, your stockholders, do you want to put money into something that they're going to shut off and just take away from you? Not that would be good. The administration, in this case, according to this report, is that the Interior Department has allowed the existing plan to expire without a new plan in place for the first time ever. And new lease sales are still months away, if they happen at all. So when Biden says all this drilling that's going on now was underway before I got in office, but now there's going to be no more drilling, and yet blame the oil and gas companies because you're not getting enough oil and gas at cheaper prices, and we have to tap into our reserve. We're draining it to the lowest we've had in 40 years or better. And what we're doing also is selling our fuel and our petroleum reserve to China. Then we're turning around trying to buy dirty oil and fuel and its production and everything else from Venezuela, a communist country. And don't forget, we've talked about up in the Northeast, the heating oil issue and the diesel fuel issue. And we have an operating 20 to 25 days worth of diesel in a constant flow being used and being refined. But if you're not having anything delivered to the refinery, pretty soon you're not going to be able to continue producing 20 to 25 days of diesel. We have a diesel reserve, but it apparently only holds about 25 days. None of this is good. And it all comes back to Joe Biden's attitude that I'm going to bow to the green pie in the sky and worship at their altar and make you suffer. We want you to suffer. And he's doing it. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the crime in the blue cities when they try to say, uh-oh, not here.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been. If it hadn't been for love, never would have seen the trouble that I'm in. If it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming when we're on the air live at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine Larry Connors USA, one word, and push that. That'll take you right to our studio when you push live, and you'll also see previous Rumble postings. If you can't do it live now, you can always go back and watch it later. Get to see this nice new suit I bought. I think it looks pretty good. Some of you may say, that looks similar to what you had last time. Well, okay. I'll let you decide. My next guest, he's been on with us before. He and his colleague have been doing extensive work for the Heritage Foundation over the last 2-3 years or more, dealing with the crime in America, and particularly George Soros-funded prosecutors and what they've done to destroy our criminal justice program. And now the issue, as he and his colleague Charles Stimson have pointed out, there is a Blue City murder problem. That should come as no surprise, but let's break it down. Zach Smith, glad to have you back with us, sir.
Of course. Thank you for having me back on, Larry. Well, always a pleasure.
Yeah, you know, the thing that comes to mind right away, and before you joined us, we were listening to different, a couple of Democrat strategists who basically say, you know, the Democrats have not understood that crime and the pocketbook issues are bigger than climate, energy, and everything else, and so we have missed the boat. We've not been selling the right message, and it's going to come back to haunt us. And then the other day, you actually had some Democrats claim, well, hey, you know, the crime is worse. Hillary Clinton made this remark. The crime is worse in red city states and so forth than in blue. And correct me on this, right. 40%+ were not even reporting to the FBI this last time around, but the majority of those were blue cities like Chicago, New York, L.A., and Detroit. So when they try to say red states and cities reported more crime, that's because the others didn't bother reporting at all.
Well, it's because part of the cities didn't report. You're absolutely right. But look, this is nothing more than the political blame game playing out in real time. I think many on the left are starting to realize that crime is a major issue, that voters care a lot about it. In fact, polls show that voters care about crime and criminal justice issues second only to the inflation and the economy, which is at record levels right now. But look, you know, there was a report, really a political hit job, if you will, that came out several months ago by this organization called The Third Way.
Right.
It's headed by former left-wing staffers. And they said, look, you know, if you look at these red states, these Trump-voting states, they actually have higher murder rates than many other places in the rest of the country. Now, that's a technically true statement, Larry, but it's very, very misleading because anyone who's worked in criminal justice will tell you that a state's murder rate is largely irrelevant because crime is primarily a concentrated local phenomenon. And so you saw you mentioned Hillary Clinton kind of repeated this trope. Gavin Newsom's repeated it. Larry Krasner, the rogue district attorney in Philadelphia, he's repeated it. And so what Cully and I and our colleague Kevin Diarotno, who's a very gifted statistician, did, we said, look, let's look and see what happens when you look at the city level data and specifically when you pull the homicide numbers of these deep blue cities from these, you know, from these otherwise red states. So, for instance, taking out St. Louis out of Missouri, Memphis out of Tennessee, and Chicago out of Illinois, you know, that type of thing. And the results aren't particularly surprising.
But I'm going to play the devil's advocate. They're saying, yeah, but you're trying to just pick and choose your as to what's going to be good for your buffet, and you're ignoring the overall picture. Now, you just admitted, did I hear you right, that in red states, if you look at it overall, you might find a higher murder rate in a red state, but it's really in a concentrated area. Is that what I'm understanding?
It is, and primarily, so many red states have, you know, a big city or two big cities that are primarily run with leftist policies. And I'll give you a couple of examples.
Well, St. Louis, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, so Missouri, St. Louis, that's a perfect example. You know, Missouri's murder rate was, you know, relatively high. It ranked fifth in the nation when you looked at it at the state level. But guess what happens, Larry? When you take the city of St. Louis out of Missouri, Missouri's overall murder rate drops by 20%, over 20%. When you take out St. Louis County, it drops another 10.34%. And so if you look at Missouri's murder rate and excludes the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, Missouri's murder rate drops by over 35%. And we see that with Louisiana when you take out New Orleans. We see that in Mississippi when you take out the city of Jackson and the surrounding county.
And yet you show, and yet you show when the cities with the highest homicide rate as of June 2022.
Correct.
That St. Louis by itself is fifth highest with 83 deaths, about a 28% of 100,000 population. And that's behind
New Orleans,
Baltimore, and Birmingham.
Well, that's right, Larry. And look, I think the overall message to take away from this study is that crime is really a local phenomenon. It is being driven by the policies at the local level, by and large. You know, these rogue district attorneys we've been talking about, they're local county level, city level officials, the mayor, the, you know, the policies they implement for their police forces in terms of defunding the police, demoralizing the police, those have very real-world effects. And so this kind of trope that's been trotted out recently that murder's actually higher in red states or Trump-voting states, you know, it's not really, it's technically true, but it's very misleading because the crime in those states is by and large being driven by the crime in these blue cities that are within these otherwise red states.
Can I point out a specific you raise in here, which I think it really crystallizes it? You point out 30 different cities, and we're talking about everywhere from New Orleans, Baltimore, St. Louis City, Milwaukee County, Philadelphia District, Philadelphia, Cook County, so forth and so on. You said there were, out of 30 cities, that, including others I didn't name, 30 cities through June 2022, there were 2,500 homicides. That's rounding it off.
Right.
2,500
right.
homicides in those 30 cities. In the 14 of those cities that were Soros-backed rogue prosecutors, less than half of them, there were 1,700 homicides, which represents almost 70% of the homicides in all the 30 cities combined. I think that crystallizes it right there.
Well, it does, Larry. And look, unfortunately, what we're seeing time and time again in so many of these cities is that a toxic trio of defunding the police and demoralizing the police and supporting the policies of these rogue prosecutors to not prosecute criminals, not to hold people without bail, it's really creating havoc in these cities where these policies are being implemented, and the number of rapes, robberies, and murders, unfortunately, speak for themselves in terms of the failures that these policies have been.
Let me take you one step beyond your report. There was a story out of, I'm drawing a blank now in which city, it really makes no difference, the storyline is similar everywhere, that's getting harder and harder to get young men and women to sign up for the police force. There's slander, there's slurred, they're automatic targets. And he said, so we had to start, you know, lowering our bar, our standard, and we lower it and lower it, and eventually we get some in. And one officer now arrested and charged with five rapes or molestations of young women he stopped on, quote, traffic stops. And he got arrested by his own chief and handcuffed. Now, it's yet to be proven, but he said, we know we're getting some inside our ranks that never should be inside and wearing a badge.
Well, look, you're absolutely right, Larry. This is a problem we're seeing across the country, that police departments, sheriff's departments, they're having problems recruiting qualified candidates. And we know, you know, we've talked about the Ferguson effect, the Minneapolis effect, that when police officers do not feel supported by their communities, when they're not empowered by elected leaders in their cities to go out and proactively do their jobs within the bounds of, you know, appropriate regulations and the laws, that crime increases because of that lack of proactive policing. And part of that is that more police officers are taking early retirement, more police officers are leaving the profession, and frankly, fewer qualified candidates are applying to become police officers.
And it ends up with more crime in the streets. Zach, thank you.
100%.
Yeah, I really thank you for your time and helping us get a better handle and understanding that it's always back to the figures can lie and lies don't, figures don't lie. But right now we're seeing they're being used as a weapon in the wrong way. Thank you very much, Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Appreciate it.
Of course. Take care, Larry.
You bet. Coming up, Joe Biden says, you get a gun, you might hurt yourself.
It's not too early to plan your holiday office party, and I highly recommend my sponsor, Cafe Napoli. Various size rooms, fantastic Napoli food and service, all to make your party a big success. Just don't wait too late to book the date. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, now on the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. My soul.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Joe Biden, President Biden, made a point when he was with the Democrat elites in California at a fundraiser, because they all love him, and they, whatever he says, they're going to, good. We're all for that. So he's in an event in Beverly Hills, California, and he used it as an opportunity to raise the issue of gun control as a major priority for his administration. And he was talking about the what it was like when he was campaigning in Delaware, and he supported the ban of some semi-automatic weapons and capacity limits on magazines in the 90s. He explained that when gun owners would approach him and criticize him for trying to take their guns away, he would ridicule them for owning high-capacity semi-automatic rifles. They'd say, "God darn, Joe, what the hell are you taking my gun away for?" And he said, "I got to ask you a question. How many... when you go deer hunting, how many deer are wearing Kevlar vests?" Oh, they got a big laugh out of that. It's a good laugh. He said, "By the way, man, if you need 30, 40, 60, up to 100 rounds to fire, you're a danger to yourself, man." And he went on to say, "I'm a gun owner. I own two shotguns. My son, Bo, passed away. Could not help but add." And I feel for the man's loss. But every time he does something like that, I think, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, you're trying to build a political record and get votes on your dead son's name every time you just kind of throw it in. Anyway, he said, "My son Bo passed away. He had another shotgun. We used to like to skeet shoot. We weren't hunters." In other words, they didn't kill anything. They were just shooting clay targets. And he expressed frustration with Republicans who wanted teachers to have guns in the classrooms. He said, "My wife Jill was a teacher, and that's a dangerous reason." He said, "There's a reason the military takes so long to train somebody. It's not easy to pick up a rifle or a gun and blow somebody's brains out in front. Actually, that's not what most of the training is involved with in the military. If he had served in it, he would know and understand." But let's just let him make the statement, because no one of those elites knows any better or different either. Then he said, "More people get killed with their own gun in their home trying to stop a burglar than, in fact, in any other cause. Think about it, because it's hard to do. It's a hard thing to do." I don't know where he got that stat. I've never seen the stat that more home gun owners are killed by their own gun because they kill themselves by mistake. Now, are there accidents? Yes. Are there cases where a child will get hold of a handgun in a house and kill themselves or another child? Yes. And that gets back to responsible gun ownership. Gun owners who keep a semi-automatic with a round chambered, it is so easy for a child to pick it up and pull the trigger. But a child would not be able to put a bullet into the chamber. So it should never be left in that state. If you have a revolver, they're all chambered. It's very easy for a child to pick it up and maybe pull the trigger. So that's gun ownership. And yes, there have been cases where homeowners have been involved in shootouts with suspects and the homeowner gets killed. Generally, they end up killing the intruder and saving their family at the time. But don't let the facts interfere with the story. And when it comes to schools, what is the very first thing they do when a gunman is on campus? Call somebody with guns, police. And if you have someone closer, you use them. That's why some have decided to, teachers that are willing to take the training, to be able to take care of the guns and have it in a safe place where they can get to it readily and make it available for them. The shooting most recently in a St. Louis City magnet school, it's a tragedy. I saw some of this over the weekend news about the young woman who had just going to be turning 16 being laid to rest. Her father said, "I would look forward to planning her 16th birthday party, sweet 16, and I'm having to plan a funeral." And, of course, you had the female teacher who was shot by the gunman who came in, a previous student. But he got stopped because a female security guard saw him trying to get in. She apparently fired one shot at him while notifying police. They got there because they were nearby anyway, and they put him down within 5 minutes. And I say put him down, he lived in long enough to get to the hospital, but he had 600 rounds with him, and that would have been a disaster, bigger than Uvalde. Thank God for those with guns. So Biden also used part of his speech in Pennsylvania to urge voters support Fetterman because he said he will help me secure an assault weapons ban. Stop and think about that. Fetterman is all about supposedly stopping assault weapons, whatever they might be. There is no such thing. It's a gun that's mocked up, and it's not any more dangerous than other guns. It just looks nasty. It's still not an automatic weapon. But Fetterman also has said, I'm willing to open the jail, and he has, in fact, let convicted killers out of jail way early. And one of them turns right around and is now charged with another murder. Is there any sense? So he wants to ban guns, but he's willing to open jail cells and let convicted killers out early? Ah, you would twist your mind into a pretzel trying to figure that one out. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to focus more on the last push, this last push today, trying to get people to show up and vote, and where it might be falling short. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.